This is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. And 10 years ago this weekend, I got a phone call. The call was from Susan Krasnow, Glenn Mitchell's wife, and the news wasn't good. Glenn had died in his sleep the night before, on November 20th, 2005. Now, I'd been Glenn's producer for almost 2 years and had worked with him for a few years longer than that, but I'd been a listener for as long as I can remember. It was a shocking time for many in the KERA family. Staffers and listeners alike wondered what would happen. And our concerns for Susan and for Glenn's loyal fans were at the top of the list. But we knew we'd continue to make high-quality journalistic conversations a priority on KERA. After all, many of us had learned how to do it from the best, Glenn Mitchell. Today, on the 10th anniversary of Glenn's death, we'll remember him. We'll hear some tape that hasn't aired since the early 1980s. We'll take your calls at 800-933-5372. You can email us your questions, answers. Of course, we're going to take your questions and answers as well today. And memories of Glenn. You can email those to anything at kera.org or send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. We'll also hear this hour from a few of Glenn's friends, including this former friend and colleague who's also had a long career in radio.
Hi, this is Norm Hitzkus. I can almost not believe it's 10 years since my really good friend Glenn Mitchell has passed. Not only was he my co-host, he loved to handicap horses and go there. He was an incredible and varied mind that could take you into a wonderful discussion of so many different subjects. And for a long time, he was also my roommate. There are all sorts of stories of Glenn and our friendship, but I want to tell you one that happened after I'd left the city. I'd gone to New York. I was still doing the Friday morning sports spectacular with Glenn as a co-host while I was in New York working for Newsweek. And Glenn was headed for Europe, and he decided to stop in New York. And, of course, we decided to go to the racetrack. While we're at the racetrack, it's late in the day's card. We're only going to stay for maybe another race. And there's this very good grass race at Belmont, long-distance grass race. And Glenn had handicapped the race, and he liked a horse. And I had handicapped a race, and I liked a different horse. The horse I liked was named Exponential, but I never discuss a horse's name. I'll always use the number, since that's what you do at the betting window. Glenn talked of his horse. I talked of mine, Exponential. We went back and forth and back and forth, and finally, we sort of agreed to disagree. Glenn went to the window and made his bet. I went to the window and made my bet. We came back. It was almost race time, and I said, well, if the seven horse doesn't win, I hope yours does. And Glenn said to me, what? I said, if my seven horse doesn't win, I hope yours does. And Glenn said, oh, my God, I went up and actually bet your horse. He'd gone to the window intending to bet his horse, but he'd heard the number seven so often in our discussion, he wound up betting the number seven, Exponential. Exponential won. Glenn won a very nice amount of money, and that launched him onto an even better trip in Europe. I miss my friend Glenn Mitchell in so many different areas. And I miss him at the racetrack.
The great Norm Hitzkus remembering our friend and colleague here at KERA, someone who you may have listened to for many years on this station, Glenn Mitchell, on today, the 10th anniversary of Glenn's death. We're going to remember Glenn this hour with your memories, your calls, your emails. We're also going to take your questions and answers because, I mean, it's anything you ever wanted to know. And I think that's probably what Glenn Mitchell would have wanted us to do today. Phone number to call is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org. You can also tweet me at Jeff Whittington. As promised, more vintage tape from the late, great Glenn Mitchell coming up this hour. We got a question today from Rex in Dallas, who asks about the legality of private uniformed motorcycle escorts, seen in Dallas in particular, who stop traffic at intersections and direct funeral processions through even against red lights. Rex says, my understanding is that Texas has no state laws about funeral procession traffic, but does have a clear law that only a law enforcement officer may redirect traffic unless there's a serious emergency, especially directing vehicles to proceed through red lights. Rex says, it's not a question about tradition or etiquette, but specifically a question about the law. Is there anything in the law that gives these private escorts the right to stop traffic? And is there anything in the law that allows a driver to legally proceed through a red light when directed to do so by one of these escorts? Anybody know an answer for Rex? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Joe emails and says, because of my current one-hour commute, I'm trying to find a different job. He says, I see dozens of large office buildings and corporate businesses located all around my home in the North Dallas area. And I keep thinking, there've got to be hundreds of jobs available very near me, he says. My question is there a way to get a list of all the companies in a small geographic area, perhaps a city block or a list of all companies in a particular office building? Is this the sort of thing the Chamber of Commerce can help with? He says, my plan is to compose a list of companies nearby that I can research rather than go through typical job boards. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Oh, and here's a success story from last week's show. Higgins, who emailed us wondering what kind of owls those are near the TCU campus, says, thanks to last week's caller suggesting what I was hearing was perhaps a screech owl. It wasn't, he says, but I took your suggestion and did some digging into the Cornell Lab of Ornithology's All About Birds online library, which Higgins says is a fantastic resource. And Higgins, I agree. He says, there I found my owls. They are barred owls. The site goes on to say that barred owls have a distinctive hooting call of 8 to 9 notes described as who cooks for you, who cooks for you. So Higgins, you're welcome for the Cornell Lab of Ornithology tip. And they've got a Merlin, it's called Merlin, the bird app, which is what I was playing on last week's show. If you tuned in, I played the screech owl sound here into the mic. Give us a call, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Let's start today with Tom in Arlington. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, I'm a long-term caller to the show all the way back to the Glenn Mitchell days, and I just wanted to say how much he meant to me. I think I first started listening to him when I was a young writer, and I would call into the show, and he would make me be brief and to the point, both in written and oral contributions, and it really helped me to clarify myself, to see I had talent as a nonfiction writer and commentator, and I later got to do some KERA commentaries, some longer broadcast commentaries, and he had a lot to do with my formation as a young writer, probably amongst local media personalities, probably more than anybody else. And I want to say also what a great job you've done with this show and how much this show has meant to me, because it sort of sharpened, I call it my game show skills, of answering a lot of general knowledge questions. It's sort of like Jeopardy on the radio, this show.
Well, Tom, thanks very much.
Know. So I just wanted to say, again, what a great guy he was, how funny he was. He was also a good musical DJ before he got to KERA, and I was a kind of a fan of him then, back in the old underground radio days. And he and this show and you taking it over have really had a lot to do with my development as a writer and also being sort of a responsible human being.
Thanks, Tom. Line open, 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Ed in Arlington. Hey, Ed.
Hello.
Hey there.
Oh, yeah. This is Ed in Arlington. I was wondering if amongst your audience you might have some denizens of Grapevine Lake, and if any of them had ever seen a seaplane land on Grapevine Lake. Land and or take off.
Okay, well, we'll see if we get an answer for you. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Zach calling from Dallas. Hello, Zach.
Hey, Jeff. Hey there. How's it going?
It's going well.
So I just wanted to say I really enjoyed the Glenn Mitchell story. I'm a newer listener of about 2 years, so I don't ever remember listening to him, but I really enjoyed that story, and thanks for that. But my question is actually related to learning of new languages. Mm-hmm. I've been using a lot of online tools to help learn Spanish over the last year, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with the website Duolingo.com.
Yeah.
But it's been extremely beneficial and helpful to, you know, helping me learn the language. But I found that my, you know, the oral comprehension of it just isn't up to par.
Right.
It's all basically reading and then transcribing. So I was just wondering if you or anybody in the area knew of any free options to learn Spanish in DFW, you know, whether it's like a meetup group or anything that that could help in person, actually speaking the language to another person.
Sure. Like taking the stuff that you've got from Duolingo and kind of going the next step.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
All right, well, we'll see if we get some suggestions for you.
Cool, thanks so much.
Thanks for calling. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. You can always send me a tweet with your questions, your answers, your memory of Glenn. That's what Al did. Al says, I miss Glenn Mitchell. Sure, he'd be proud of the job that you and Chris Boyd have done. Looking forward to the Christmas blockbuster with Glenn. And yes, those of you who are wondering, we will air Glenn Mitchell's Christmas blockbuster on Christmas Eve from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. Christmas morning. That's the plan, so it'll be right here on the 24th on KERA. Looking back over the last couple of days at some interviews Glenn did, came across this November 8th, 2005 interview. A few weeks before Glenn died, he got to interview legendary newsman Mike Wallace of 60 Minutes fame. And here's an excerpt from that.
How often has your mind changed about somebody once you talk to him?
I don't know how much you do ahead of time in the way of research or...
A fair amount.
You do?
Yeah.
And you have other people to help you?
Mm.
Good. By the time I sit down with somebody, I really do know a fair amount about those people. I really do. And so I am seldom surprised about what I learn as I go. What I try to do is to, I don't know how you do it, but I have a yellow pad, one of those lined yellow pads, and I sit down and write maybe 75 or 100 questions because I've read everything I can find about them. Mm-hmm. I've watched if they've done a film or something of that sort, read a book. Big deal. What happens is that the person I'm talking to suddenly realizes, hey, this guy has done a lot of work ahead of time. I'm going to take him a little bit seriously. Mm-hmm. I'm going to help him. So we become co-conspirators. And what happens is that it becomes a chemistry of confidentiality. It's what you're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What you're doing right now is you're looking at me, good-looking man, obviously. but I'm looking at a man who has...
done his homework.
That's basically.
Yeah.
The great Glenn Mitchell talking with the great Mike Wallace from CBS 60 Minutes. That was back, that was November 8th, 2005, just a couple of weeks before Glenn died. Wallace, who was 87, I think, at the time, has also died. He died, I think, in 2012. So really great to listen back to that excerpt from the Glenn Mitchell Show. We're remembering Glenn today. We're playing some old tape. We're getting memories and reminiscences from you as well at 800-933-5372. You can also email us your questions and answers because, you know, we're still going to do the show too. Anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. Coming up, we're going to hear from one of the original members of Glenn Mitchell's Brain Trust. That'll be after the break. Of course, we'll get more of your calls and emails as well. Stay with us. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org. You can also tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. It's also the 10th anniversary of Glenn Mitchell's death. He died November 20th, 2005, and it's hard to believe it's been 10 years since Glenn sat in this chair Monday through Friday from noon to 2 and hosted the radio show. Getting ready for today and for this anniversary, reached out to some folks who were on Glenn's Brain Trust. Glenn would convene the Brain Trust 3 or 4 times a year, and one of the original members is a gentleman, a writer, an advocate. He's an organizer. He's a teacher. His name is Dave Marquis, and he sent in this remembrance.
Hey, Mitch. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years since you passed, but it is. But I want you to know all those years, the decades you put in, the times when you were local programming, the times when you were editing reel-to-reel tape with a razor blade and scotch tape. Man, it's all for the good. Jeff Whittington's booking great guests and doing a wonderful job on Fridays with Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. And Chris Boyd does her homework. She's always prepared. She asks insightful questions. There's a whole slew of new young reporters, plus Sam Baker, Bill Zeeble, still here. Oh, Mitch, they brought the music back. They've got a station called KXT. And it's the coolest musical station anywhere, and Jeannie Mascoro is the morning host over there. How cool is that? Ah, Mitch, 10 years. We remember you, we thank you, and we will see you on the other side of the break.
Dave Marquis, remembering Glenn Mitchell here 10 years after Glenn's death. You can remember Glenn as well. Give us a call, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org or send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington. Of course, we're working your questions and answers in during the hour as well. But let's talk next to Kevin calling from Dallas. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, doing well.
I cannot believe it's been 10 years. It really struck me because when I heard you say that, I was actually in the car, and I was in my car going to WRR to work, where I was the evening host on the day that I heard the announcement of Glenn's death, and I had to pull over to the side of the road for a while to recover. I never met him. I got to talk to him a few times on the phone, and we exchanged some ideas as one radio host to the other, but I've never felt such a personal loss from someone that I'd never met before. As many years as I listened to him on the radio, I always felt that Glenn was a friend because he just had that warmth and that genuine compassion about him, and just that brilliant mind. It was a wonderful thing to hear. And I remember a couple of days after his passing, I took an hour out of my show on WRR at the time and played Maurice Durifle's beautiful Requiem Mass in his honor. And just really struck me kind of emotionally to hear that this is the 10th anniversary. He was a great man, and I miss him.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Kevin. Really appreciate the call.
Yeah.
We all do miss him, and it's amazing to realize that it's been 10 years. Back to the phones, 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Cherry and Keller. Hello, Cherry.
Hi, my name's Sari.
Oh, Sari.
That's okay. I had a question. A few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, there was somebody that was asking about a good trade to get into, and one of the responses was that you could take a brick or masonry course that lasted a few weeks at UNT, but I haven't been able to find any information on that. So I was wondering if whoever gave that response could give more information.
Well, hopefully they're still listening, and if not, maybe somebody else will know where to find it. Thanks for calling. We'll see
Thank
if we
you.
Get an answer for you.
All right.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Got the Twitter going, too. And let's see. Peter says, I'm taking Spanish House adult group classes off Lower Greenville at Spanish House with great success. I don't think those are free classes. This is an answer to the question about how to improve Spanish language skills. But, hey, that's an answer. We also got a call here. Let's talk to Ben calling from Dallas. Hello, Ben.
How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, in reference to the gentleman looking to improve his speaking and listening skills, mm-hmm. there's a website called meetup.com, as in let's meet up, meetup.com. You go on there, type in your location and what you're looking for, like Spanish, and there will be meetup groups all around the Metroplex.
Great. Hey, thanks for calling, Ben.
No problem. Thank you.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Roy in Fort Worth writes via email, the common polite greeting of a firm handshake has pretty much been replaced, he writes, by the, quote, bro hug, such as how Jimmy Fallon of The Tonight Show greets his guests when they come out. or when coaches at the end of the game meeting at midfield, they do the bro hug. When and how did the bro hug become so prevalent, Roy asks. And more important, where did this custom come from? Well, you've asked. We'll see if we get an answer. 800-933-5372. We had a question last week about a three-day getaway in Texas from someone. And let's see. Jass says, Rose Hill Manor B&B in the Texas Hill Country near Fredericksburg is his suggestion. He says, we went for Thanksgiving a couple of years ago, had a wonderful time. Food is delicious. It's close to LBJ Ranch, and you can take a wonderful tour of the house and grounds. The other part of that question, though, I think I remember, was our listener was also looking for great macaroni and cheese, as well as a three-day getaway. So marrying the two things together was something that I think they were after. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Yolanda in Dallas. Hello, Yolanda.
Hello. I remember Glenn. Thank you for remembering him, too.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, my question is about some articles I've heard on various shows about restaurants that are now eliminating tipping and paying their employees more money, paying all the employees more. Mm-hmm. I just wondered if there are any restaurants in Dallas that are doing that.
I think the stories, and I've heard some of these stories too, and I think those are in some municipalities where the minimum wage is being raised. I think it's related to that, and I don't think that's happening here yet. But okay. We'll see if somebody knows if that is something that's happening here. As far as I know right now, we're still expected to tip our servers here in North Texas.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
You bet. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. I mean, they're working hard, right? I mean, that is a tough job, you know, doing service industry work. It really is. Let's see. Up next, let's talk to Nick calling from Grapevine. Hello, Nick.
Hey, how's it doing?
Doing well.
All right, cool. I'm doing well. Lived in Grapevine my whole life and lived in the same house. And this is in regards to calling about the water plane landing on Lake Grapevine.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. Like I said, I've lived there for 22 years. Just a bunch of boats, kayaks, and jet skis. That's all.
All right, Nick. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you bet. Love you guys.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. You can also tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Robert tweeted and says, I love hearing the old Glenn Mitchell Show music. Been listening since before I can remember. And he says, thanks for the throwback. Thanks for your thoughts there, Robert. We got an email from Jay who says, I was fortunate to meet Glenn Mitchell after many years of listening to him on KERA. Jay said it was about this time of year, several years before he died. And we chatted next to a backyard fire and he related his experience undergoing open heart surgery. Says he was philosophical and humorous. Jay says, I still miss him and think of him weekly, and thanks for keeping the flag flying, and thanks for this remembrance of one of Dallas's greats. Well, you're welcome, Jay, and thanks for your memory of Glenn as well. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Nicole calling from Dallas. Hello, Nicole.
Hi there. I am also calling to just sort of remember Glenn. It seems like yesterday that he died.
Yeah, it does.
And he always made me feel very honored when I called because he always referred to me as the Nicole.
Right,
it's not
right.
Just Nicole, it's the Nicole. And even when we started to email the show, instead of just having phone calls, he still referred to me as the Nicole. So anyway, thank you very much for appreciating Glenn today.
You bet. The Nicole, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Let's get one more on this from Jim calling from Dallas. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Hey there.
I joined a few minutes late, so you may have already covered this, but I suspect few people remember when Glenn first came to the station when the format was classical music, and mm-hmm. he came as a classical DJ. And then as it started morphing over to the talk show format, he morphed with it, I found it interesting at first when he became one of the co-hosts with Norm Hitzkus on the I Am Not a Jock Club, and he seemed to be fully up to speed and conversant with with Norm on that, and he was a passionate Cardinals fan. But I'm curious as to whether the passion for his interest in all things that he could learn, it had to have been there all along. But I don't think, but that's not what apparently brought him to Dallas. It was to be a classical DJ.
Well, you know, Glenn studied history and was in college, from what I understand. But he worked at the SMU radio station, the student radio station. And it was after the show in the afternoons. If I couldn't find Glenn, it was probably because he was at the library. So if I needed Glenn, I could page him, and then he would call me from a payphone. Remember, they still had payphones over at the Dallas Public Library, because he would go, and you know, the internet was a thing in the mid, you know, aughts of the 2000s, but Glenn still liked to do the legwork. You know, he would get into the card catalog and the Reader's Guide to Periodical Literature and pull out the New York Times microfiche and stuff. So,
well, I did some volunteer, you know, answering the phones, and it was not unusual to see him walking down the hall with a nose in his in a book.
Yeah. Well, hey, Jim, thanks for calling.
You bet. Thanks.
So we were digging around as we were getting ready for this show and seeing what kind of tape we had, tape in quotes there, of course. But the funny thing is that a lot of this stuff was actually recorded on tape, real tape, and then digitized about 10 years ago. And Glenn had a series called The Unabridged Glenn Mitchell, which aired on KERA in the early 80s. And here is an excerpt from one of these essays on, believe it or not, dueling.
I once suggested half seriously that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness would be advanced, the policeman's job simplified, and the courts unclogged by the judicious reintroduction to society of dueling. Maybe more than half seriously if we could work out certain binding rules. So recently, I did a little bit of reading on the subject. We get the word duel from the Spanish word duello, which itself comes from the Latin bellum duo, or war for two, specifically two gentlemen. Dueling was the privilege of rank. Two members of the lower orders simply got into a scrap, charges could be brought, and one assumes a scar or gentlemanly missed shot would not have been satisfactory conclusion for the dispute. Most of the famous duels ended in death for one of the parties. Hamilton, for example, when he fought Burr. Andrew Jackson once crossed a state border from a non-dueling state to one where it was not outlawed to fight a duel and kill a man. But death was not inevitable, nor was it always demanded. The job of seconds was often to persuade the combatants that honor had been satisfied and that both gentlemen could retire from the field with dignity intact and bodily fluids still inside the skin. It was not unusual, in fact, for the duelists to retire to a nearby pub where, the odds were, the disagreement started in the first place.
An excerpt from the late, great Glenn Mitchell's series from, I think it's probably 83, 84, called The Unabridged Glenn Mitchell. And we'll ask Glenn's permission, forgiveness, I guess I should say, for abridging that excerpt. It's just amazing. And a real treat to get to go through some of this tape. 800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can email us anything at kera.org. You can also send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. That's what Raquel and Jennifer both did, saying Joe's Crab Shack is rolling out eliminating tipping chain-wide, including Texas locations. Let's see. We got an email from Jim in Arlington who says, McAllister's restaurants have long had a sign on their counter stating that they pay their employees well and that the customer is requested not to tip. He says a little different policy is that in place at Spiral Diner in Dallas and Fort Worth, their policy is that tipping is allowed, but tips are split between the entire shift. Rollins emailed us and says, Cafe Momentum in Dallas doesn't take tips, but rather pays their server interns a minimum of $10 an hour. Any otherwise tips go toward the programs created to train formerly incarcerated nonviolent offender teens so that they can have professions in the industry. Rollins, thanks for reminding us of that. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Mike in Bedford. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Jeff. It's Mark, actually.
Oh, hey, Mark.
Glenn sounded like a really nice guy. I wish I could have heard him. I didn't get here in time. I have a question about a Panasonic rear projection screen TV that doesn't work anymore. Where could I take this to either have it parted out or be recycled?
It's a question we get periodically, and sometimes I know the city of Dallas has like an annual electronics recycling day.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the answer that Goodwill takes TVs for recycling or refurbishment.
Okay, but even if they don't work, Goodwill will take them?
Well, we've had this answer before, but I think grain of salt time, it's probably a good idea to call first and find out. And then, you know, your municipal, I don't know if in Bedford, if you all have like a home hazardous chemical recycling location, but I think in Dallas they take some electronics. They take batteries and some electronics and things like that. So that might be a solution.
Okay, I appreciate your help on that, Jeff.
You bet. We'll see if we get any other suggestions for you, Mark.
Thank you, buddy.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Hey, we got an email from Susan Krasnow, who I mentioned in the intro of the show. That's Glenn's widow, Glenn Mitchell's widow. We're remembering Glenn Mitchell today on the 10th anniversary of the day that Glenn died in November of 2005. And Susan emailed and says, Jeff, you've always been my second favorite Anything You Ever Wanted to Know host. Thanks very much, Susan. And she says, thanks so much to everyone at KERA and around North Texas for remembering Glenn. He would be absolutely blown away to know how much people loved him. So yesterday, and Susan, thanks for writing in, and really, really appreciate that. Yesterday, we put up a post at keranews.org, and you can see some pictures of Glenn. You can hear some vintage audio, some of which we've played on the show today. You can also hear the station's obit for Glenn that aired in 2005, and there's also a link to the audio of his memorial service, which was held at the Caleta Humphreys Theater in 2005. And by the way, this theme music, many of you have called and asked, this theme music was composed by Kim Corbett, who was the longtime midday board op here at KERA and ran the board for Glenn's show for many years. So it's fun to bring this back. Stay with us, though. We've got more memories of Glenn, more of your questions and answers coming up in about 2 minutes. It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our phone number is 800-933-5372. Email address, anything at kera.org. You can also send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. We're taking your questions and your answers today, of course. We're also remembering Glenn Mitchell, longtime host here at KERA, invented the Anything You Ever Wanted to Know format when a guest didn't show up. Glenn had been filling in for our evening talk show host. This is probably early 90s, I think. I was still in college. I was listening, of course, but still in college. And I didn't hear the first time this happened. By the time I knew about Anything You Ever Wanted to Know, it was just the thing that Glenn did whenever a guest didn't show up. It happens every once in a while. There's a technical problem or a guest doesn't make it or someone cancels at the last minute. But it became so popular that the audience, you, the folks who listen to Glenn, really wanted to know when we were going to do the Anything You Ever Wanted to Know format. Well, we had to wait for something to go haywire. So the decision was made when Glenn went to 2 hours, which happened in the fall of 2001. Glenn's show had been 1 hour a day up to that point from when he started in 95. The decision was made the first hour Friday would be Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. So that's what Glenn did on Fridays at noon. After Glenn died, I really felt like we probably shouldn't continue to do that because it was such a Glenn thing. But many of you asked us to do it. So when we launched the Think Show, we made the decision to make the Anything You Ever Wanted to Know show its very own hour on Fridays. And it's been an honor and a pleasure since the show officially launched 9 years ago, but we were already doing it on Fridays in that year between Glenn's death and the launch of Think. So about 10 years, it's been a real honor to be able to sit in this chair on Fridays and do this work that Glenn just dreamed up at the spur of the moment when a guest didn't show up. And Glenn had a lot of friends, and he would bring those friends on the air from time to time. And no matter what he says in the tape that you're about to hear, this next guy that you're going to hear from, Tom Blackwood, was a great friend of Glenn's, one of the other original members of Glenn's Brain Trust, which would gather on the air a couple of times a year to discuss important things. And Tom remembers Glenn this way.
The original Trivial Pursuit game included around 40 incorrect answers, just plain wrong. Hold on to that thought. Mitch liked to play games. Mitch liked to win games. We had many knockdown, drag-out Jeopardy games. We were an undefeated charades team. We were insufferable. Eventually, the cry went out to break up the Yankees, and Glenn and I were not allowed to be on the same side in any sort of game anymore, which leads us back to the 40-something incorrect answers in the original Trivial Pursuit. Late one evening in the early 80s, a party had deteriorated into Trivial Pursuit. The game was tight. If we got the next answer right, my team would win the game. Mitch read the question. I gave the correct answer. My team cheered. Mitch smiled. No, he didn't. He smirked. And after spitting out the canary feathers, he pronounced that the answer was unacceptable. It was wrong. He showed the card to the room, and there it was, the incorrect answer, incorrectly printed. I knew I was correct. Mitch acknowledged I was correct, but could not receive credit for the answer because the rules clearly said that the response had to match what was on the card. I argued to no avail. He sympathized, always with a sympathetic smirk. Wait a minute, now I'm kind of wondering why I like the SOB anyway. Oh, well, same reasons you did. Sense of humor, search for knowledge, just the kind of guy who would create a show like this. Here's to you, Mitch, game player, trivia master, big fat rat fink.
Tom Blackwood, remembering his friend, our colleague, and one of the smartest people I ever met, the late, great Glenn Mitchell. It's the 10th anniversary of the day we lost Glenn, November 20th, 2005. We'll have a little bit more of classic audio from Glenn coming up in this segment. He sat down in 1986 with a really famous writer here from Texas, and we'll hear that here in a few minutes. Right now, though, we have time for your calls, your emails, your questions and answers, even your tweets. At Jeff Whittington on Twitter, email us anything at kera.org, or call us 800-933-5372. And Paul in Greenville wins the Patient Caller of the Week award. Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon, Glenn. I mean,
yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We've been talking so much.
Glenn. I know, right?
Good afternoon. I have an answer for the bro hug. And I believe the reference began. The first time I ever saw a bro hug was at the end of the film Top Gun, after a Maverick, a.k.a. Tom Cruise, is on the deck after saving everybody, the aircraft carrier and all the other planes, and Iceman has been dipped out of the ocean and was shot down, and they meet on the deck of the carrier, and that's the first bro hug I ever saw, Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer.
Somehow it's fitting that Tom Cruise would be the originator of the, quote, bro hug.
If somebody has, I think a film reference would have to begin the bro hug, but that goes back. That may be the first bro hug I ever saw in a film.
All right. Hey, Paul, thanks for calling.
You bet. Thank you.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Paige in Fort Worth. Hello, Paige.
Hi. Hey there. I really do appreciate this tribute to Glenn Mitchell, but let me say, Jeff, that you have filled his giant shoes quite nobly and quite well.
Well,
congratulations
for
that.
Thank you so much. And it's just it's just 1 hour a week. So, and you know, Chris Boyd, who has been my colleague here the last 10 years or so, I think has done a fantastic job too. And
she has as well. Yeah. I never miss a show. I have a question. I have a number of friends that are flying in tonight into DFW, but they're coming in at different times. And I was wondering if somebody could give me a recommendation for a good restaurant that's near DFW Airport, not inside, but near DFW Airport. I would really appreciate that.
Are you going to shuttle back and forth and get them
and
bring them
there?
That's
what I'm trying to avoid. I'm right. Pick up a couple, go have dinner, and then pick up
I see.
My remaining friend.
So a place you can camp on a table for a little while you're waiting for the other friends to arrive.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Well, we've got about 10 minutes left. We'll see if we get some suggestions for you.
All right. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks for calling.
Bye now.
800-933-5372 is where we find Mark in Weatherford. Hello, Mark.
Hey, can you hear me all right?
Sure can.
Great. I have a comment for the gentleman that called a little bit earlier about wanting to learn Spanish and be able to actually speak it.
Yeah.
As I want to establish my bona fides first, I'm a Russian linguist. I learned Russian as an adult. It can be done. And there is no substitute for just getting out into the world mm-hmm. and using the stuff.
Right.
You have two kinds of vocabulary. You have passive vocabulary and active vocabulary. The only way to bring the passive vocabulary into the active column is to go out and use it. You have to get over your fear of being wrong. It's okay to be wrong if you go out into the world and you use it, like in stores and wherever you find Spanish-speaking people. And by the way, we live in Texas. There's plenty of Spanish-speaking people
sure.
out there.
Sure.
You've got to go out and use it. And when you do, and when they see you're making a good faith and honest faith effort to learn their language and do it right, they will help.
Well, Mark, thanks so much. Mark, really appreciate your call.
All right. See you. Bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kerray.org. Valerie in Fort Worth is wondering where to get pie late at night in Fort Worth. Valerie says, I'm not talking about pizza. I'm talking about apple pie, pecan pie. She says, we had a diner that was open 24 hours in Houston that we used to go to for late night pie. They served 50 different kinds of pie. Does anyone have a suggestion for a place like that in Fort Worth? And Valerie says, I'm a recent transplant to the area, desperately seeking pie in Fort Worth. Carrie emailed and says, Recycle Revolution takes electronics. This is in response to the rear projection big screen TV that our listener was looking to recycle. Their website is recyclerevolutiondallas.com. Dry Gulch Recycling would take the television last time I was there, but that was some time ago. People can also try earth911.com to find recycling centers near them. Let's see. Ed emailed us and says, I was a guest on the Glenn Mitchell Show twice. The first time was very short notice. The second time, I walked into the studio, put on my headset, and took off my watch, as I do in my SMU classrooms. He immediately said that doing so marked me as a professor. I guess he'd seen a lot of us, but it clearly showed the power of observation that made Glenn who he was. And let's see, we got an email from Larry in Fort Worth who says, one of my favorite Glenn Mitchell memories is his saying on the air that he could really do without the usual greetings from listeners, including, how are you? He said something like, if I weren't all right, I'd be home in bed. And Glenn often said that greetings wasted airtime. And I guess if you added it up, you know, if everybody says, thanks for taking my call, and 20 people say that in an hour, you know, that's 40 seconds. And 40 seconds is enough time to get an answer from someone who you're interviewing, especially if it's 2 hours a day. 2 hours a day, 40 seconds, when that turns out to be, what is that, like a minute and 20 seconds. 5 days a week, you're getting into, you know, six, almost 7 minutes of territory there. If you do 7 minutes of how are you doing a week over a year, man, that really does add up. So Glenn and I had long conversations about these very things when I was his producer. Something I didn't produce, because I don't think I even had a driver's license yet, was Glenn's Texas Writers interview series that, best I can tell, he produced this in the mid-80s. And what I really liked about this tape is that Glenn is using kind of his newsy voice on the intro. So you'll kind of hear a little bit different take of Glenn Mitchell. And it's important to remember that Glenn was probably 36 years old when he was doing these interviews. I know this is 1986 because he sat down with Texas writer John Graves. John was in town for the 50th meeting of the Texas Society of Letters. And I looked it up, and it was 1986. And this is the tape that aired on KERA.
John Graves is a native Texan who's written about country life and its contrast with the modern urban world. His story of a canoe trip down the Brazos, Goodbye to a River, is perhaps his best-known book. His others include a collection of essays on rural life called From a Limestone Ledge, whose subjects range from dogs he's had to septic tanks. Goodbye to a River came out in 1960. I wondered if the desire to write such a book would be as strong today as it was for him then.
Oh, I think there's plenty of reverence for nature, but there's so damn many of us who have it. It's
a good point.
No, the Brazos itself, on weekends now, the more accessible stretches of it is thronged with canoes. Mm-hmm. But it never was, you know, in my time. I have been blamed by certain people for having furthered that sort of thing. I don't think I did particularly, because it's all over the country. Up in the east now, for instance, on some of the famous trout streams, the anglers refer to the aluminum hatch, which is all the canoes that come thronging down the creeks and rivers and messing up their fishing during the, you know, these are very meticulous trout fishermen and so on. The boom in recreation is to a large, that kind of recreation is to a large extent based on reverence for nature, at least desire for contact with it, participation, but it sort of defeats its own purpose because it is so voluminous in a way.
John Graves, the author of Hard Scrabble, From a Limestone Ledge, and Goodbye to a River. Glenn Mitchell, KERA 90.1.
The great Glenn Mitchell, that was almost 30 years ago. 1986 is when Glenn sat down and interviewed John Graves. There is a post up at keranews.org with some great photographs of Glenn Mitchell, also some audio tape. Glenn's obituary from the news staff in 2005 is there. There's also a link to his memorial service, which was held at the Dallas Theater Center's Kalita Humphreys Theater back in 2005. There is an extended version of the Mike Wallace interview that we aired part of this hour as well. But you know what? We're here to do a job, and that job is to answer your questions. And in the 30 seconds we have left, I want to make sure that our listener who's wanting to find a restaurant near DFW Airport hears this. John suggests Big Joe's Pizza and Pasta at Main Street and Harwood Road in Euless. And we got an email from Marty in Fort Worth who says, Love and War in Texas near the Grapevine Mills Mall. It has a great feel of Texas as well as a place you can just leisurely dine and hang out while waiting for the other guests to arrive from the airport. Well, that is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Produced by Stephen Becker, engineered by Shelley Canavy. Today we had help on the phones from Natalie Kalman-Kuhn. We had help from Laura Nagide. We had help from our associate producer, Lindsay Connect. I want to thank Eric Bright for pulling together a lot of the audio that we heard, resurrecting, really, a lot of the audio we heard today, and Stephen Becker for producing all of those segments. Check out the podcast. It'll be up in a couple of hours at kera.org/anything. You can subscribe there as well. You can email us your questions and answers, comments and suggestions at anything@kera.org, or send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington. This theme music was composed by Kim Corbett. Never thought I'd say that on the air. And really appreciate everybody calling and listening and writing in. And have a great weekend. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.